You are listening to a podcast from The National.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Extra Time. I am Chitrabhanu Kadlayal, Assistant Sports Editor. Today, we are taking a break from football to have a discussion about cricket. Sri Lanka and Pakistan are getting ready to play a two-test series against each other, the first of which gets underway in Abu Dhabi tomorrow. With me to talk about the series are staff writer Paul Radley, who is in the studio with me, and former staff writer and Crick Info Abu Dhabi correspondent Usman Samiuddin, who's joining us on the phone. Welcome to the show, guys.
Cheers, CB.
Right, so...
Hi, guys.
My first question is directed to both of you, but Paul, you can go ahead first. It's an odd question to begin with. I find three reasons to be really excited about this particular series. The second test in Dubai is going to be played under lights, which is going to be the first time for Sri Lanka. Pakistan will be without Yunus Khan and Misbahul Haq for the first time in 7 years. And the very last game of this bilateral series, which obviously also includes ODIs and T20s, the last game is going to be played in Lahore. Yet, I haven't felt much excitement around in the UAE, at least. I haven't felt a buzz with regard to this series. Am I wrong to think that? Is it that I'm cloistered in this office and therefore I'm not... feeling it, or is there something to it, Paul?
No, I know exactly what you mean. It does feel a little bit, in fact, that it's after the Lord Mayor show, even though it's the start of a big series, mm-hmm. just coming off a small three-match series against an invitational team, it seemed like that was where all the focus of Pakistani cricket was with the series against the World 11 because it was back in Pakistan. Mm-hmm. Now, matches in this country, certainly test series, they've always, obviously, by their very nature, on a neutral terms, have felt very dislocated from where the main fan base is and where all the excitement is. The fact that they've gone back and had that World 11 series, it's just sort of exacerbated that, and now it feels like, oh, why are these matches here? You know, it's difficult to sort of, to be fair, it's always been difficult to generate too much excitement about test series in this country, but it's just sort of emphasised even more so, I'd say, now because of that series in Lahore very recently.
Mm-hmm. Usman, what are your thoughts on this?
My first thought is that I think you might be the only person excited about this series in the whole of the UAE, and I include the vast cricketing community. I think, you know, I back up whatever Paul has said. I think, you know, the big one was the three-match T20 series in Lahore, where kind of all energies and money and you know, effort were expended for Pakistan, at least. That was the one that they had to really get right. Mm-hmm. And this feels like a bit of an afterthought. I think it also feels like that, partly because, you know, it's Pakistan-Sri Lanka again. And, you know, this is the third time they've played in the UAE in the last, 6 years, I think? Right. And I was looking through some stats the other day, and I think, and this shocked me actually, because I thought they would be much higher, but the Pakistan-Sri Lanka rivalry in the last 10 years, I think it's the fourth most played out rivalry in cricket. You know, India-Sri Lanka stops, because, okay, you know, that's a series that, of course, everybody wants all the time. But, you know, they've played a lot. They've played a lot of times against each other. You know, they played in 2015, they played in 2014, they played in 2013-14 here, they played in 2011-12. They've just played each other so many times that it's difficult to build yourself up for a rivalry that lacks any kind of, you know, real historical context.
Right, but you guys touched upon the fact that they played a series before this in Pakistan. The last T20 of this bilateral series is going to be played in Pakistan. Apparently there's been some sort of a lack of interest or possibly some sort of apprehension on the part of the Sri Lankan cricket team. I mean, Dinesh Chandimal at the presser today alluded to that, didn't he? I mean, take a listen.
Yeah, at the moment... the board that we to go there, but we just want to see the security first, and we haven't discussed anything as a team, so we need to discuss as a team, and we'll come up with a decision in future.
Well, it's a bit odd. The series is starting tomorrow, and they're still going to be discussing.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah. It just adds to the whole lastminute.com flavour to the series, really. That this late, I mean, a lot of this, the itinerary, just things like, well, menial stuff for us in the media, is like accreditation, things like that, has been so last minute because they had that big series where, as Usman said, that everything was focused on that, mm-hmm. the World 11 series. Everything has been so last minute about this, to the extent that they're still waiting on more security advice to appease the, understandably, to appease the Sri Lankan players. Sarfraz himself was saying in his press conference today, the Pakistan captain, mm-hmm. was saying, guys, you know, we've shown that we can host these series. You should come. And he's using his opening press conference on the eve of the series to try and encourage them to come and play the last match of the series. It seems remarkable that it's reached this point, but obviously, given everything that's gone on, it is also understandable.
Mm, right, the security situation indeed is. But obviously, one thing that's pretty exciting about the series, as far as I'm concerned, as I've already mentioned, is the fact that Yunus Khan and Misbah-ul-Haq won't be featuring for Pakistan for the first time in 7 years, Usman. How do you think this is going to play out? I mean, Sri Lanka, their opposition, have struggled over the past couple of years, you know, not having Mahela Jayawardhane, Kumar Sangakkara, and then most recently Tilakaritthi Dilshan in their side. Do you think Pakistan are going to face a similar struggle, if not in this series, but over the long term, perhaps?
Yeah, I think, you know, eventually, I don't know if we're going to find those problems immediately, but they might still do. You know, Sri Lanka are not to be kind of underestimated at all in this series. But I think over the longer term, and, you know, when they go for their next test matches in England next year, for example, they will find filling the gap in the batting order, at least, like a very, very tall order. You know, you don't replace 15,000 test runs, 40 plus hundreds, and, you know, multiple century stands between the pair. You don't replace that overnight, if ever.
Right.
In fact, what they've got to do is just kind of manage it as best as they can. So, you know, they could have gone to tomorrow's test playing do David Johns in the middle order, but they're probably going to choose not to do that. You know, mm-hmm. they're going to try and kind of keep it as experienced a lineup as possible. So they might debut Haris Suhail at mm-hmm. number six, mm-hmm. but what they'll do is they'll move Azhar down to one down. And Asad Shafiq up to number four, so that, you know, kind of bulks up their middle order, which is, you know, which has been their traditional strength over the last, you know, however many years.
Right.
It's forever, in fact, because nobody really cares too much about Pakistani openers. You know, they're just like an afterthought or an appetizer to the main show, the middle order. But so, you know, I think what they're going to try and do, at least as the batting order goes, is just to manage as best as they can, and this probably gives them as good an opportunity. You know, you're playing at home in familiar conditions on surfaces that don't always do too much,
right.
against a side that is in a little bit of disarray. Mm. This gives them as good a shot as any of, you know, trying to ease new guys in gently and not throwing them in at the deep end. But, you know, at some point next year when they play against England and then they're home to maybe Australia, definitely New Zealand, it's going to start to show, I think, seriously, at a serious level, it's going to start to show then just how much they're going to miss these guys in the middle order.
Right. Yeah, it's curious you mentioned about the openers, because it's been a while since Saeed Anwar and Amir Sohail opened together for Pakistan, right? but when you talk about Pakistan, the other fairly new aspect to factor in is captaincy. Sarfraz, the wicketkeeper, had a pretty successful stint in the limited overs formats, and now he's going to be leading Pakistan in the test series. In fact, he had even shared his thoughts at the presser today, talking about his experience captaining Pakistan and how that's going to feed into his career as a test leader.
I think the life is very much changed. You know, responsibility now is big. Now is, you know, the first opportunity is to test matches, so it's a tough challenge for me, and hopefully I will do well.
So, Usman, obviously he's going to be a very different captain to Misbah-ul-Haq. How do you rate him as a potential leader?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't think anybody can be like Misbah. You know, he Sarfraz is a different character altogether. He's much more pally for a start. You know, he talks a lot more. He's given to showing his emotions a lot more as well. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the one weird thing in terms of Pakistani cricket about Sarfraz is that he's probably about as best planned a captain as they could have had ever. You know, he's captained at every level, at every age level, at every side, his club side, his domestic side, the under-19 side, mm-hmm. The T20 side, the ODI side, the PSL team. He's captained at every level that he's played at. You know, so if you're looking for somebody who has experienced captaincy to take over the biggest and the toughest captaincy role, then Sarfraz is your guy. And the only thing I would say is that it's too worryingly smooth. in-house he's taken over as death captain. It doesn't happen like this. You can't go through seven captains and then find one who fits. Instead, here, they've gone through Sarfraz straight away, and everyone's pretty okay with it, which is like, you know, it's eerie, and I'm not too sure how it will play out, but I guess if you go by what he's done with the one-day side and with the T20 side, then, you know, you probably look at it as quite a promising move. But like I say, you know, I'm the pessimist in this, and I just look out for, like, bad signs wherever I can.
Paul, it's interesting that Usman spoke about Pakistan's captaincy in those terms. Sri Lanka have had a few captains over the past few years. In fact, just over the past year, they've had to move one out, move one back in, and, you know, there's been so much going on in their context. They did poorly in the Champions Trophy. They did terribly against India. You know, playing at home, they've lost every game. What is going on with Sri Lankan cricket? There's obviously a churn, but there must be more to it than what we see on TV.
Yeah, there must be. You just look at any news that seems to come out of Sri Lankan cricket presently. It seems to be really quite damaging news. And obviously that's had a knock-on effect. I think the leadership issue is something that has been exactly that for a long time now. It's when they lost Sangakkara and Mahela within the space of a year of each other from Test cricket. Obviously, that's going to leave a massive void, I think, as Usman touched on, with Misbah and Yunus in terms of the runs that they give. But then there's the leadership issue as well. You're losing two massive leaders, Mahela in particular. Just about the best captain I've ever seen on the field in terms of the way he just dominates everything in an exclusively good way. Such a strong character to deal with any side issues or any, you know, like purely cricketing issues. And you get the impression looking at them now that there really is sort of quite a cavernous hole when it comes to that sort of thing. And I think just looking, it's quite, Sri Lanka are a bit of a cautionary tale for Pakistan, in fact, because of the fact that they've lost two very similar players. Great leaders, Misbah and Yunus, people who just, you could guarantee, you could just bank on them for runs. Mahela and Sangakkara, when they went 2 years ago, since then they've played 22 test matches, as far as I can work out. And funnily enough, I was working out that their win percentage over that time was actually, it's more or less a match for the time that all the test matches that Sangakkara and Mahela played for each other. The win percentage of the team is exactly the same. More or less, in actual fact, it's slightly higher, 40.9% to 40.5% when they were playing together.
Interesting.
But the loss ratio is a lot higher. They basically don't draw any matches anymore.
Right.
So when Sanga and Haley were playing together, they would win a far greater percentage of matches than they'd lose, whereas in actual fact now they're losing more matches than they're winning,
right,
even though they're winning more matches, if that makes any sort of sense.
Right.
But it just goes to show how skittish and damagingly so it's been losing, I think, the leadership, really.
Right. To both of you, Usman, you go first. What do you think is going to be decisive in the two test series? Is it going to be the bowling or the batting?
I mean, you know, it's always going to be both, obviously, because you know, it takes both to win or lose the test match. But sure. I think I would look at what Pakistan are planning to do with their bowling attack, and, you know, at least for this test, they're happy to go in with three bases, which is unusual for them in the UAE. You know, they haven't done that before that often.
Right.
And I think they would probably do the same thing in the day-night test as well. So I think, you know, if you're looking at it from Pakistan's point of view and looking at how Sri Lanka's batting has struggled recently, I would say that, you know, it would be Pakistan's pace attack plus, of course, Yasir Shah. That, to me, might be decisive. And, you know, I'm not saying that it's going to help them win the series for sure, but if Pakistan were to win, I would say that it would probably be their bowling, as ever, you know, that wins it for them.
Do you concur, Paul?
Yes, I'd say so. Yasir Shah, I think, it's often key over here. Even, I think, he got slightly neutered by the fact they were playing day-night tests last time. And even though I think he might have,
I think towards the end,
eventually he won them the game anyway. Yeah,
right.
So it didn't make a huge amount of difference. But I think he'll be key. I just think can't really look past Pakistan in any of the departments, to be honest.
Right. So okay, finally the last question really is, there are obviously a number of regulations and rules that are kicking in as the series starts tomorrow, some of which I'm not sure will apply to the test series. Bat regulation, you know, bat size regulation, rules with regard to runouts. Do you think they will come into play in this test series, or at least in the limited over series, Ospan?
They are definitely. I mean, we've been told by the ICC that those regulations will be in play for this series. And you know, something like the bat width. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that, because we were talking to one of the umpires this morning, mm-hmm. who was doing like one of those bat width tests. So Mohammad Alfar, one of Pakistan's players, had to pass his bat through this kind of device that they have to measure the edges, the thickness of the edges, to make sure that they don't go over. And you know, he passed his bat through, and the umpire said that, you know, there were a couple of players who kind of just had to push their way through to make sure their bats were okay. But he said that, you know, guys like Misbahin Afridi, they would have had a chance in hell of like having their edges kind of passed through. So those regulations will kick in. Right. But I'm happy to report that all of Pakistan's bats now fit these new regulations.
What about runouts, do you think, Paul?
Runouts, yeah. Now, the one that I'm most interested in seeing is the sending off. I was interested to see this. Perhaps story's come to light about 2 days about the rule changes. Come to light about two. We're having this conversation anyway. A couple of days too late, because I was trying to wrap my brain, see who, because it's got to be for serious violent violence on the field, the serious misconduct. I was just thinking it's guaranteed to be Ben Stokes will be the first player sent off in a test match. But
where was the last time a player actually assaulted an umpire? So we have to end this year, but I'll give you both an opportunity to make your predictions. Paul, what's it going to be after the two tests?
I can only see 2-0 2-0 to the home team, nominal home team, Pakistan.
Right. Ospan?
I will say, as nobody should ever say, but I clearly hope that cricket will be the winner. that old cliche. I would expect, given that they've not ever been beaten in a series at home, and that this is not a vintage Sri Lankan side, I would expect Pakistan to win. I'll go with 1-0. Paul Radley seems to be a bit more confident of their system than I, but I will go for 1-0 here.
Okay, we'll hold that against you if it happens or not. That's all we have time for in this episode of Extra Time. Before I leave you, just to remind you that the first test starts tomorrow in Abu Dhabi at 10 a.m. and the second test starts on the 6th of October in Dubai. Thank you so much, Ospan. Thank you, Paul. And thanks a great deal to our multimedia producer, Kevin Jeffers. I'm Chitra Bhanu Kadlail.